This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling. So.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Oral. A-U-R-A-L. What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Bay's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course. Bismarck. No, was it? Bismarck was that?
Liz Mark.
No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck, yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation. Let me know what
you're opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
This is a place where eternally fire is applied to the body. Teeth are extruded and brought to ground and baked into cakes which are passed around.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live on this Monday evening inside the PTB Man Cave. A little under the weather, but I did some DDP yoga, feeling good. It's old school Raw going on. We have the BCS Championship game, and we have a multitude of guests on with us tonight. And it feels like this is the 100th time I've spoken to you in the last 7 days, Scott Criscola.
yes, JR.
I've seen you, I've had to dine with you, I've had to...
had to
wake you up. I've had to drive you places, and you had to ride on a multiple reason an icy ride, a car ride, whether it was the ground or inside the car. We shared that this weekend.
Yeah,
we shared a lot of wings. We shared a mailbag. A lot going on. 15 hours on 1994 WCW.
Broken Eagles fans' hearts.
Right. Yes. And speaking of broken Eagles fans, we have one with us tonight.
A broken fan.
Yes, because, you know, we fancy ourselves to be quite the big wrestling and sports nerds, but we're like ancillary video game guys. We have a big video game nerd with us here hosting the show tonight, and that is the managing editor, PlayStation.com, our good friend, close personal confidant, Mr. Brad Woodling. Brad, how are you?
Gentlemen, good evening, and thank you for the note about the Eagles and listening back to the... To the mailbag, you know, in real time. I do appreciate that. Actually, no, you were rooting against me, Justin. There's some type of interest in the Saints in this game. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, not the personal, you know.
I know. No, I know.
Andrew Reich is on cloud nine, however. But
yeah, I had a back my boy Reich. So, Brad, we have you here tonight because the first guest we have, I don't know, the only guest besides you, has to do with the video game industry, in a way. He's promoting product that he's working on, so we're going to bring him in momentarily. After that, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we're going to talk a little bit of current product. I'd say we're going to maybe look at tonight's old school Raw a little bit, and also the Royal Rumble, which is just a few scant weeks away. Brad, we will be there in the house in Pittsburgh.
Weeks.
We'll be a Ring of Honor, and we could talk a little bit maybe about the BCS game. We'll see how much I care, and then maybe a little bit of the NFL playoffs if we have some time. So right now, though, let's waste no time, Scott. Why don't you tell us who our guest is?
Okay, guys. Well, he lives in New York City. He lives in one of the five boroughs, one of the great five boroughs. He is an iOS developer, and he's got a great product in the works that we really want to talk about for all you diehard wrestling fans who are connected to their iPads. It is called Ringmaster. Let's bring him on right now. Brian Papa. Brian, welcome to the Place to Be Podcast.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into the app itself, which looks pretty awesome from the beginning, tell us, A, how you got into what you do, and B, how you became a wrestling fan and how they came together.
Sure. I think I'll answer B first.
Okay.
Just because that happened first.
Okay.
So yeah, when I was a kid, you know, I was obsessed with different superheroes and forms of media and whatnot. And one day my dad was changing channels on the television, and the original Royal Rumble was on free TV. It was on USA Network, I believe.
That's right. Yep.
And yeah, it just kind of was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. You know, I was aware of wrestling, but I wasn't a fan. You know, I knew who Hulk Hogan was. I knew who Andre was. I'd watched the cartoon. But for some reason, the Royal Rumble just got me kind of hooked. And you know, I became a fan then pretty hardcore. I pretty much, that was my new obsession as an 8-year-old. And yeah, I've been a pretty big fan ever since. There was a little bit of a gap, I guess, as I was kind of trying to grow out of it. And then I came back in, you know, thanks to the NWO and Stone Cold and stuff like that. But yeah, I've been a big fan for, I guess, about 25 years. And then development, which is what I do now. I'm an iOS developer. Actually, that is kind of has the same time, maybe. Maybe I could have answered them in the order that you requested. because when I was a kid, you know, I also got really into video games, and I wanted to learn how to make video games. So I took an interest in software development and programming, but I actually didn't make any video games. I wound up briefly working in QA at Acclaim. I actually worked on Legends of Wrestling 3, which is, you know, a bit of a wrestling tie-in there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I then started making websites and then eventually started making apps. And, you know, now I'm making my first game. So, you know, 20 years later, it's finally all coming together.
Yeah. So, Brian, do you know Brian Shields at all? He's been on the Place to Be podcast. We've had him on a couple times. He used to work at Acclaim also, and I know that he worked on the Legends of Wrestling series as
yes.
well. But he was more in the marketing arm.
Yes, I know that. And that, when you said it, I had to think of the name. Yeah, I've seen his name around. We never met. Interesting. Yeah, maybe we were there at the same time then. I was there for Legends of Wrestling 3, which was really like the end of Acclaim.
The end of Acclaim, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
They went under very soon after it came out. And I actually left, I think, just before it was released. Okay. So yeah, that was a fun time. It was a fun time because there were a few wrestling nerds that worked there. And actually, it was great because I was on the night shift, and every, I guess, Thursday at the time, right, we would go and watch SmackDown during our, like, second break of the night, and we would take way too long. Like, we were only supposed to take 15 minutes, but we would, you know, take an hour, depending on what the show was. And the thing was, like, there were some, like, everybody kind of liked wrestling, but I was the only one that was, like, super hardcore on the internet. And knew what was going to happen. Like at the, you know, I'd read the SmackDown taping results, and I just remember, we had to go back to work, and somebody was giving us a hard time, and I was like, no, we have to watch this. And this was the Brock Big Show match when he superplexed him, and the ring fell apart.
Oh yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, fine. And then, yeah, just like, I remember we had like 20 dudes packed into this little room. And when the ring broke, just like everybody went nuts. It was pretty awesome.
That is cool. So you talked about how, so you work with Acclaim, and now this is kind of, and I know you've done other iOS development before, but this is really your first wrestling game. So where do you draw your inspirations from? So we kind of get your backstory on that piece, and then we'll talk about Ringmaster and what it all entails.
Yeah, well, I mean, so Ringmaster, like all the characters in it are original because, you know, I wanted to avoid the sort of cheesy, like, oh, you know, I've got this bald guy that wears a black vest and he walks like a real badass, but his name is, you know, Rock Chili John Austin
eye.
Or something like that. Yeah, like, I, you know, I want to
left eye.
And then, like, you change your name or, you know, I didn't want to do that. For one thing, it's kind of corny to do that, but also, I mean, legally, you're putting yourself in a weird position because you never know. Like, you know, that's I think that's pretty questionable as like from a legal standpoint. So all the characters are original. And I'm working with this really awesome artist. His name is Jeff Munn. And I've actually known him through the internet for about 16 years. We used to do e-feds together back in the day.
Talk a little bit about that. I mean, I figured that's where some of your... you know, and so our listeners know, you know, the Ringmaster is a simulation game. So I'm sure that a lot of your eFed stuff is kind of where you built from in order to put this game together?
Yeah. We actually, it's funny because there was, I was like running the Fed, and there was, you know, a handful of members, maybe like 10 to 20 guys at any given time. And a lot of them had multiple characters, and Jeff was actually the one that had the most characters at any given time. So, and he's the one that's doing the art. So it's kind of funny. I guess the two most creative guys in the eFed are the ones that are eventually, you know, making this game together. And, you know, since then I've become a professional app maker. Jeff has become a professional illustrator. And, you know, I was thinking about doing this project last year, but I knew I needed to have a really talented artist that I had to work with. And Jeff kind of like magically occurred to me because I was following his webcomic at the time, and he did a wrestling storyline. He has a really funny comic. It's called Kiosk, and it's based on his experiences working at a mall kiosk.
Okay.
And yeah, he had some wrestling characters in there last year, and I'm like, oh my God, Jeff is the perfect guy to be working on this with. So, you know, it's kind of like the two of us are creating everything in here. And as far as, our backgrounds, I mean, we're both, he's from, upstate New York and I'm from Long Island. And, at least like growing up on Long Island in the '90s, like I think the only wrestling available was WWF. So, even like when the Monday Night Wars happened, I always kind of sided with WWF cause that's what I grew up on. And, you know, I kind of saw them as the underdog, and WCW were these outsiders. I guess they literally had outsiders, but, you know, they were like outsiders in my wrestling world. So I was always more of a fan of what they were doing. And I think a lot of, you know, what they've done inspires me, but also, you know, I want to encompass like all parts of wrestling into this game. So I'm certainly drawing inspiration from stuff that I see on the indies, stuff back from ECW days. There's certainly going to be characters that are inspired by, you know, the likes of like the more kind of rough around the edges guys like Sandman and Tommy Dreamer and, you know, Balls Mahoney, those kind of guys. Like there'll be some of that kind of stuff in Ringmaster. And just, you know, all sorts of different gimmicks and different types of wrestling that exists in the world today. Like just for example, I was at this art thing the other day. And somebody had this photo essay, not an essay, but a photo exhibit around Turkey. And he had some photos of some guys that did some kind of Turkish oil wrestling. Like, you know, it's not like hot oil wrestling, like women, right. You know, strip club kind of thing. But it was like, I guess you kind of like put oil on yourself and then you wrestle. And, you know, it's like a very old timey sport in Turkey. And I don't think I've ever seen that adapted at all in pro wrestling. Maybe there's something I've missed, but, you know, I just made a note of it. I was like, oh, this might be something interesting to explore for Ringmaster. So, you know, it's as somebody who maybe like has I do have a favorite promotion throughout my 25 years of fandom, but I definitely want to bring in things from elsewhere in the industry. You know, instead of just like making it pay homage to WWE or something like that.
Sure. So talk a little bit about Ringmaster in general. So you're taking the role of the booker here. So give our listeners an idea of what they can expect and what they can build, and really ultimately what the goal is, like how things are tracked. You know, you have a budget, you're running a promotion, or you're recruiting other wrestlers, that kind of thing. Give us some of the backstory on this one.
Sure. So my main I guess inspiration gameplay wise is the Super Nintendo version of SimCity, which, you know, you start building your city from scratch. You've got like a little bit of a budget and you can start putting stuff together. You can start putting up residential zones and power plants and whatnot. And then when you get to a certain population level, you can now do new things. And, you know, every subsequent population milestone you hit, you're like, it's almost like a new level. So I'm kind of mimicking that in Ringmaster where, you know, you start from the bottom, you've got just a small amount of money to your name and you're running an indie promotion and you're in, you know, bingo halls and circus tents and whatnot. And then as far as the wrestlers that you can actually sign, you know, you wouldn't be able to sign like a John Cena type or anything like that if you're at that level. So really, the only guys you really have access to are one, like the old broken down, you know, the Greg the Hammer Valentines and the Hacksaw Jim Duggins of the world, and the sort of young up and coming unproven indie guys who, you know, maybe, you know, are high flying or technical wizards or something like that. But you know, they don't have a lot of charisma. Maybe like they're not really good on interviews. But they're cheap, so you know those are the guys you can afford at that stage of the game. So you know, you put a roster together, and then you start running shows. And to create the shows, you basically go match by match, putting together, you know, who's in the match, what kind of match it is, who wins, who loses, and then based on your decisions, you know, while you're watching backstage, you can kind of see how the crowd reacts. And, you know, if you did a good job promoting, the crowd likes it, you know, you make more money, the wrestlers themselves kind of like level up, so to speak, like in a, right. in a role-playing game kind of sense. And then if you did a bad job, then the opposite happens. Like, you know, you might lose fans. You may damage the wrestlers' reputations, like sort of like almost like you're burying them, like a bad booking decision.
Right.
And then, yeah, you kind of just progress from this indie level to more of like a, you know, television-based promotion, and then so on.
Do you have a feature where everyone jumps on Twitter and whines about guys getting buried, even though they get pushed like crazy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe they did this crazy storyline in, you know, to end the show.
Oh,
how could they bury him this way?
You mean, yeah. You mean we can create our own IWC?
Exactly. I can't believe Daniel Bryan takes up the whole show and every segment, and they're burying him.
Oh. Exactly. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Scott.
So, Brian, where did you like what of the wrestling games that have come out, say, in the past 15 years? Which ones did you maybe draw some ideas from? We were talking about this the other day about like Attitude and Warzone that came out for PS1 and like all those SmackDown ones in the early 2000s, and then some of the others, WrestleMania and. Where did you draw? Did you draw any ideas or anything to kind of work the beginnings of this game from those?
I don't think so. I could, mainly just because, you know, those are like you know, actual play as the wrestler kind of games,
mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, like they're more like fighting games, and this is more of like a strategy game,
right?
I know that they've had some elements like the GM mode was in SmackDown games or something like that. I haven't really even tried that. And then there's the other PC games. Like this is not a genre that I'm creating. This is actually an existing genre. It's been on PC for a while. But even those, like, I'm not drawing a ton of inspiration from. I guess it's more just the idea. It's more, I guess, the like I said, SimCity. I'm a big fan of Nintendo's other strategy games like Fire Emblem and Advance Wars, which are super simple. They have awesome artwork. And despite the fact that they're super simple, like they have a very clear kind of set of rules that exist in this universe. And because of that, like you actually get like really deep gameplay. So I'd say, like, as far as gameplay goes, those are really more of my inspiration than any wrestling games that are out there.
Okay. And I like, too, that you brought up that, you know, you're aware of the other, you know, strategy games, like, you know, Booking Revolution and, you know, I have a Wrestling Manager for my iPhone, too. I haven't been able to delve too much into it, but I have that, too. But I like that, you know, you're kind of looking a little bit outside of wrestling to pull in your influences. And I like the SimCity thing, too. That's pretty cool. So tell us a little bit about the process right now, where you're at. You know, for our listeners, I'm familiar with Kickstarter. I've kickstarted a couple projects before, but they may not be. And we're going to, of course, include the link within our post at Place to Be Nation, and we'll certainly give that to you for your Kickstarter page too. But why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about how that whole process works?
Sure. So, you know, basically, I mean, Kickstarter is a way for people who are doing some sort of creative project to get funding to complete it. You know, they have an idea, they have a prototype, you know, maybe they want to open a store or they want to publish a comic book or make their new album or something like that, or in a lot of cases make a new game, and they don't have the funds to do it for whatever reason. I think in my case, it's just like, you know, nobody publishing-wise probably wants to sink any money into a pro wrestling promoter sim, right? So, you know, I've got to get some funding from somewhere. And then, you know, you create your project, you put it out there. And then, you know, it's not necessarily just a donation, because you as a project creator are expected to sort of reward your backers, depending on how much money they give you. So, you know, I have a whole bunch of backer reward levels, like, you know, you get a free copy of the game, you get your name in the credits, and it's also a tappable link, which nobody has told me that I did not invent that. I'm pretty sure I invented that. And
that's interesting.
Nobody
yeah,
has
know,
said
otherwise.
I'm trying
to think yet. Of it. That's pretty cool. So, like, it would pull up, I think in your example, it would pull up a Twitter page or something like that. From
Yeah, whatever you want. Homepage, yeah. Twitter, LinkedIn, if you really want to. I don't, you know, whatever you want to do. your adult friend finder, whatever.
PlaceToBeNation.com. Come on, Brad.
PlaceToBeNation.
Well, sure. Obviously, for us, it would be PlaceToBeNation.com. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, whatever you want to do. So,
or Scott's Jewish Singles page.
What?
other rewards are like content creation. So you can come up with what a sign would say that's shown in the game. You get to name a stadium. And of course, you can create your own wrestler. You know, you come up with their backstory, their abilities, and then Jeff and I will put them in the game. We'll send you a one-of-a-kind print made by Jeff. So, you know, there's a lot of really cool rewards in there. And the way that it works is that, you know, I set a goal, and then there's a period of time. And if I don't reach the goal within that time, then you get your I wouldn't even say you get your pledge money back, but your pledge money is never taken away from you, because you just sort of pledge, like, I'm going to give this amount. And it only actually is taken from your account if the goal is satisfied.
Right.
So right now I'm only at 12%, and there's a week to go, which sounds pretty bad, but, you know, I'm still trying to work a couple of, like, partnerships, and they do say that everything kind of ramps up at the end, so I'm still, like, fairly optimistic that this can happen.
Great. Well, and so I had one question about the gameplay that just spurred to me that was on my list here, but then I want to get back to some of the other features of it, because I think it's pretty cool what you've put together here. So we've talked recently, because when we talked to Brian, you know, we talked through, like, a, you know, kind of going through the calendar. How does the show outline work, right? We have a bunch of guys, some of our listeners too, also do kind of like Justin, how would you explain, like, the Tau Wars type, or not Tau Wars, but you kind of
territory wars.
Tau Wars is fantasy baseball related, and it's been so territory wars, right? So it's similar to an eFit type thing. So I know that we have a lot of guys that are interested in that. So how does it work, kind of laying out the calendar? Is it kind of a week to week thing that you're building the card, or is it you're controlling every day and those nuances?
Yeah, it's I think right now it's kind of show based, and there's, at least at this time, there's like an indeterminate amount of time between shows. I'm, you know, it's kind of weird because I feel like if I were to attach, like, say, dates to it,
right,
you know, it just kind of might be confusing, like, because, you know, it'll be April 3rd in the game, but in real life it's January 6th or whatever today is. And I guess it's not that confusing. I don't know. I haven't 100% decided yet how that's going to work, but
I kind of see where you're going. I kind of like that too, right? Cause it's kind of like, well, next event, right? So what's the date really matter? Is it, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, you'll sign guys to contracts and there is some time associated with that, but maybe it would be for so many appearances. Uh-huh. And then that way sort of just remove dates altogether from the equation.
Sure.
And yeah, I guess the idea, you know, I guess theoretically it would be like from week to week, but maybe, you know, I wouldn't necessarily have any sort of unit of time anywhere in the game.
Okay. Now, one of the things that people are always familiar with, you know, if they play games on iOS is the Game Center, right? And I know that online multiplayer is something that you're looking to add to it. So how would that work if I wanted to play my friend Scott Criscolo on the on our iPads in this game? How do you envision that working?
You have to have Michael Cole demonstrate how to download the app first.
I'm sure that you would put together a great
every day for 9 months.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that was kind of like, you know, I wanted to do this game and I was like, oh, I should do this. But then I was like, wait a second, this, like, iPhones have Game Center built in. I could do like a sort of turn-based multiplayer. And the natural thing was, you know, oh, well, if it's promotions, like, do the Monday Night Wars, because that was like a real life sort of promotion war that happened in reality. I guess another idea would maybe be like the territories, but something like the Monday Night Wars, I feel like it could be more like finite and I could just do it over a certain amount of time. And basically, you know, you get an opponent and each of you set up a promotion and then you go head to head in television ratings.
Sure.
And what you do is, you know, so it starts out with a phase where each of you drafts talent, you know, so there'll be a pool of available talent and then the two of you go back and forth choosing who you want to be in your promotion. And then the game itself kind of starts. And then that is 4 weeks of head-to-head shows. So each of you puts together a show and you just kind of sit there and watch what happens. And there's a nice little graph that shows like who's winning the ratings war. And, you know, you'll see it go up and down as each segment goes by. And then, you know, after the show's over, you make adjustments to your strategy and then book the next week. And then after that 4 week period is over, there's a pay-per-view and then whoever gets the higher buy rate for the pay-per-view wins. So it's kind of like a mini like Monday Night War condensed into like a 4 week period.
Okay.
So what Brian, what would you want to say to our listeners to kind of help pump this up as the clock is ticking? What do you want to tell the our listeners here, place to be, why they would want to help you and get this app and dive right into it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I want to start like a sort of new franchise here. You know, this could be something that I do for years to come. We'll see, but you gotta start somewhere. You know, I'm really trying to bring this idea of the promoter sim into 2014. You know, it's built specifically for mobile devices, and it's got this really cool intuitive interface where, you know, you're using like gestures and taps and drags to put shows together really quickly. You don't have to dig through a bunch of crazy menus or anything like that. The artwork is gorgeous. It looks beautiful. You know, there's a multiplayer mode, which is a lot of fun. You can kind of do it anywhere you want. And I'm an experienced iOS developer at this point, so I'm taking everything I know about making good apps and bringing it to this game. So just like the little things, like, you know, it's something that you can play, you know, in landscape mode with two thumbs on the screen, or it's something you can play holding your phone in one hand and manipulating everything with your thumb while you're riding the subway or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I need to get the funding to make this happen. So if I don't get the funding, it's just not going to happen. The game will likely just die and never be heard from again. So, you know, if you want to see this happen, Kickstarter ends next Monday night on the 13th. So, you know, head on over and take a look. Ringmaster, it's on Kickstarter. And yeah, you know, get some really cool rewards. Get a wrestler in the game. Get a stadium named after yourself. And then, you know, we can all kind of make it happen together.
Absolutely. And there's a couple great videos that you have out there for our listeners. Like I said, we'll be sure to include the link. And if you go to Kickstarter, you can also search for Ringmaster. But there's a video of the gameplay. So Brian just talked about the you know, the dragging and changing the steps just with one finger. And that's absolutely different than anything out there. So I do like that, like you said, you're taking the wrestling sim into 2014 and into, you know, this new type of generation of gaming. So it sounds like it's a cool idea and you got the right energy behind it and passion for it. So I think that's really great.
You had me at Turkish Oil Wrestling, so I'm in.
Right. There you go. We're gonna expect it.
Just make sure you bring a little microfiber cloth so you can wipe off the screen.
Yes.
We'll do. Brian, let me just ask you, as we like to always ask our guests, just if you're going to a desert island, my friend, you can bring the videos or DVDs of one wrestler of all time. Who are you bringing?
Of one wrestler?
Yes.
Who? Oh, okay, so this is a controversial pick. My favorite wrestler of all time is Triple H.
That's not controversial around here.
Money is in the bank, baby, right there.
Scott's going to bankroll you himself.
Scott just bought 14 stadiums.
If only he had the money.
Name after himself.
Yeah, I just back when I was getting back into it again, he was kind of moving away from the Blue Blood thing and getting more into the DX thing, and he was kind of like an up and coming talent. So I kind of latched onto him then, and then you know he became a hot top heel, and just everything that he's done since then, I just love, like, you know, whether it's him, getting down on one knee, like trying to convince Vince McMahon in a wheelchair that like he can get the job done for the corporation, or when it was like a couple of years later and he was like wearing like a really pink super tight polo shirt for some reason, like just, you know, with the belt, the world heavyweight title that Eric Bischoff had handed to him and Ric Flair at his side, you know, just all that stuff. I just always been a big fan. So I think it would be a lot of his matches and promos that I'd be watching, is particularly from the like early 2000s, mid 2000s era, as far as promos, not so much matches. Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, so that. Scott could create Triple H in the game if he reaches a certain threshold of donation too. You know, I mean, obviously not the same name and everything. We have to protect the copyrights and whatnot. But there you go. There you go, Scott.
I can't believe it. Cloud nine.
Maybe
right
yeah.
Now.
Turn the H's upside down or something like that.
Hunter S. Criscolo.
Hunter S. Criscolo. There you go.
Well, Brian, we want to thank you so much for taking some time here. We definitely want to go ahead and implore our nation, if this is something you're interested in, and you should be, because I know a lot of you out there, myself included, have been doing this kind of thing all their lives, whether it dates back to even pre-computer, you know, whether it was wrestling with the wrestling figures, building your own promotions and booking and everything else. I mean, like I did in the early 90s into mid-90s. And then even, jumping online and doing the earliest wrestling simulators. I remember I had Vicious and Delicious Wrestling for my promotion in 1997, and then on through all the video games and, you know, the apps are the future of that. And sounds like Brian, this is a labor of love, a great love, and the passion you hear from him today should tell you that it won't be a waste of your money. It'll be a great use of your money because he's going to make sure he takes that money and develop it to something great for wrestling fans, something for you guys to really enjoy and build. And all you Territory Wars guys out there, like Brad mentioned, should really be first in line for this one, because this is kind of the embodiment of your work in written form through the passion of Brian here. So once again, Brian, why don't you just plug where we can go to donate if we want to?
Sure. So easiest way, there's a crazy URL, and I don't remember it. So just go to Kickstarter, search for Ringmaster. It'll pop up right there. There's also, if you got any questions, there's a great messaging system built into Kickstarter. There's comments. You can leave some comments. Or if you just want to reach out to me personally, I'm on Twitter as BPapa, B-P-A-P-A.
Big Papa, hard to not remember that one. So, so Brian, we thank you. Feel free to come back on the show again in the future. We can talk some old school wrestling, and you can keep us up to date on your project, which I am sure will meet its goal. So, Nation, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll talk a little bit about where we're headed for the Royal Rumble.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
It's quite possible that I'm your third man, girl.
What's your one-stop home for your pop culture needs? Of course, PlaceToBeNation.com. We have everything you could ask for when it comes to pop culture. Now first, wrestling. We're definitely your hookup for all show recaps, including Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor, all of WWE's other programs as well. We have previews, live blogs, breakdowns for all WWE and UFC pay-per-views. You want sports? No problem. Place to Be Nation has extensive articles on football, basketball, MMA, boxing, and baseball. From Andrew Reich's history lessons to the return of the hack to the Cowboys call, we have the best and comprehensive sports knowledge and opinions. With a loaded staff of hardcore pop culture writers, we also specialize in comics, TV, music, movie pieces. Of course, you can't forget Jen and Justin's journey through the 90s. You want podcasts? Well, look no further than Place to Be Nation, the home for the best catalog and variety of shows you'll find anywhere on the net. There's the Place to Be podcast, where the big boys play, the Brad and Chad show, Wrestling with the Past, Titans of Wrestling, Goodwill Wrestling, Richard and the Mailman, Grapple Talk, and the Kings of Sport with our good friend Nate Milton. I want to take a second to thank our supporters and ask you to check out their great sites. Graham Cawthon and the History of WWE.com, a complete archive of wrestling shows throughout history. Also, our friend Dave at TWFNews.com, your home for wrestling news updates and great conversation. Also, check out PileDriverWrestling.net for all the latest wrestling news and the home of the great Old School Wrestling Review podcast and much more. And while you're at it, if you want to chat with fellow fans about wrestling's past and present, check out Scott Keith's blog at RSPWFAQ.com. So for everything you need, your pop culture fix, check out PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, this is Scott Keith, the former Net Cop, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast.
All right, Nation, we are back. Hope you enjoyed that chat with Brian Papa. It's a great project he's working on, so please, if you have the means, go ahead and support him via Kickstarter. Speaking of support, Brad Woodling, take it away!
All right, well, you know, you guys have had a lot of calls lately, but despite that, there is still a lot of new and exciting stuff at Place to Be Nation that we haven't talked about on the podcast. First off, Where the Big Boys Play, episode number 57, Starrcade 1990, featuring yours truly, making my second appearance, first one for a show review with Parv and Chad, and we went a solid 3 hours and 25 minutes, but don't let that deter you. It was a real fun episode as we wrapped up the Black Scorpion angle and one of the worst booked tournaments of all time. So be sure to listen into that. And then today also is, of course, right now we have the BCS Championship game going on. And, of course, this is the last year for the BCS. So our college football guys and sports guys in general have been rebooking the BCS. Scott was a part of this. And tonight you can find Volume 4. And the soon-to-be-released Volume 5 will be out there taking us all the way through every year of the BCS. And we want to thank Andrew Reich. He's done a great job at taking point with that and managing a bunch of moving parts. Real entertaining reread of that if you're a college football fan. It's definitely a good trip down memory lane, thinking back to, you know, 10, 12 years ago and what was going on in the college football polls. And Justin, we also have your Ring of Honor review today, which I believe got a Michael Elgin retweet.
Yeah, baby. Well, it featured him as the final battle main event aired on TV. So check that out. And of course, commentating that show, Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino. And of course, Steve Corino will be with us next Monday night, the 13th. Should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And finally, our friends Greg Phillips and Nick Duke, a little Monday special, the Hard Traveling Fanboys, as they look at a particular X-Men episode, and it's always an entertaining read that's real popular with the nation. So that's our Place to Be Nation update. And of course, you know, if you're looking to spend your holiday gift cards, you want to help support the podcast and the website, you can click through our link, and we really appreciate that. And we want to thank everybody who did that around the holidays this year, as we definitely saw that. And, you know, we're very grateful. And, you know, so thank you again for that.
All right. It's been a little bit since we've talked current stuff, so I figure we'll take a few minutes here. Let's kind of talk about where the WWE's headed into the Royal Rumble, how Raw's been the last few weeks. Of course, if you want to catch up, if you miss, Scott has each and every Tuesday morning, or yeah, very early Tuesday morning, usually like 1 a.m., his Raw recap is up. And of course, tonight is old school Raw, a lot of legends in the house. And we had our first participant for the Royal Rumble announced, and that was Batista. Of course, he will be there in Pittsburgh, as will we. About 19 of us from Place to Be Nation will be in the house. If you're planning on attending Ring of Honor or the Rumble and you haven't been involved in our planning, let us know, and we can get you in on the crew. Scott, what do you think of the direction of the company at this point as we head into 2014?
Well, I mean, I think the signing of Batista is a nice touch. The main event needs to stay fresh before anybody starts bitching and moaning that guys getting held down and all this other stuff. Main events need to be hot, and they need to be fresh. And so bringing Batista in is not a bad thing. I think people need to have patience. Somebody on one of the message boards today that I was on was bitching and moaning about Big E Langston. How, oh my God, this guy has no promo skills. He's just this big dude with man boobs. He's got no moves. But, you know, you got to give a guy at least 3 months before you can say he's failed. I don't think he's failed at all. He's Intercontinental Champion. His pops are huge. His matches are good. I mean, they're not, you know, Flair Steamboat or anything, but they're not crap. I just wish people have some patience. I don't know what anybody wants. You're not going to get WrestleMania every day. And I think the roster's fine right now. I think there's a lot of good pieces in place. The Royal Rumble always brings something special. Not many years have we had shitty Rumbles. Maybe 2006. Other than that, when was the last real bad Rumble? I mean, the last couple years may have all been kind of
the one that Del Rio won when it was him and Santino at the end. That was pretty underwhelming.
Yeah, 40 men and a lot of trash other than Kevin. Yeah. Kevin Nash.
Yeah, Diesel came back, which was awesome. But that was about the high point of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, so, the end with Santino was cool because you don't really get something like that ever. And that's always been one of those things in the back of my mind. Like, well, 1 year they pull the trigger and just have someone crazy win it. And you can always get the title shot off of them. But it would be a pretty good storytelling if you had a guy like that come out, win it, shock everyone, and then spend the next 2 months, like, you know, Triple H trying like crazy to get the title off the guy, the title shot away from the guy, and, you know, this. You know, the storyline could be that. Like, how do you get the title shot off of this guy? And he keeps eluding them. So, no, something to think about in the future, I guess.
Yeah. It's something, you know, and it just needs some variety. But I think the roster's fine. And, you know, we're pumped up about the Rumble for the next few weeks. You guys are going to be there. I'll be handling the live blog that night. And, you know, it's I think it's going to be a fun night. And I like the build between now and then. So, I'm fine right now. I think 2014 will be a lot of fun. It's a WrestleMania build. You can never be down for a WrestleMania build. Never. The down part comes at the end of April into June. That's when everybody can start bitching and moaning. But these next 3 months, people need to give the benefit of the doubt to the build. Because it's Mania and they never totally fail at it. There may be some hiccups, but I don't think they ever really fail at the build. You're going to get some successes. So
now, Scott, let me ask you. So, and I know that a lot of times, you know, and I used to love when they would do this with the Royal Rumble, they would kind of have some not as common title matches because, you know, the Rumble sells the show, right? So they can take chances and have some different things. But this year, you know, it's already been announced it's going to be Cena and Orton again. It's kind of underwhelming. You know, Daniel Bryan's been a big part of the show so far in this build, and I know we have, you know, 3 more weeks of this, but, you know, what are your thoughts and for both of you guys, you know, what are your thoughts with the title match there? I mean, and the other thing is it's kind of booking backwards because TLC is the ultimate stipulation, right? And now we're going back to, you know, how do you see that title match going? What do you think it's going to be? What are the stipulations going to be around it? And how do you see that playing out?
Thought it was interesting that Stephanie said no interference unless she was just babbling, which is entirely possible. I mean, is this going to be a straight up wrestling title match? I mean, if that's the case, I don't know who the hell's going to win. Depends who wins a Rumble.
I think Orton's going to win at this point. I don't think you put the title on him and then not have him take it to Mania. But, you know, I've been wrong a lot lately, so.
I can't see Cena winning the title. I have a feeling they don't. WWE isn't big on title switches between the Rumble and Mania. They don't do that very. You don't see the belt switch in February that often anymore. I mean, 2000 it happened.
I think Cena's gonna be involved in something, just out of the title picture.
Yeah,
in Mania,
I think
whether
so too.
It's, you know, there's been rumors of him doing something with Hogan. I don't know what it's gonna be, but I just don't see him being involved with it in the title picture. I still think we're probably going to get Orton Bryan, honestly. Because I think it seems like Punk's getting Triple H, Brock and Taker, I guess.
I think Orton's going to get Batista. I think. Batista's
oh yeah, well,
winning.
That's possible too.
I think he's winning the Rumble. Yeah, I do.
So where do you guys see Brock then? Because of course they made a big deal about he's interested in the title. Obviously, now that they only have one belt, they need to run something at Elimination Chamber. Doubtful that it would be for the title. But I don't know, because, you know, it's been so long since we've had just one championship belt and how they, you know, build around these shows with it. But so where do you see Brock in that then? Is he an interim step to the title? Does he not go after till after Mania? What do you guys think?
I think if they do have something in their minds that Brock is going to be the champion going to New Orleans, I don't think there's any question that is the moment that you put Daniel Bryan over. Imagine this little scrawny guy against this fucking behemoth.
I don't think Brock's winning the title. I mean, this strong rumors today that Dana White is negotiating to bring him back. Now, Brock's contract was through next year's Mania, 31. So I don't know how that's going to work, if he's just going to say fuck it and void the contract. Or is he going to do both? Are they working on a deal where he can do UFC but also have a couple of WWE matches? I mean, that was something Dana didn't allow the first time through.
Right.
But maybe just trying to get his name, star power back. Maybe they will do something like that. They'll let him do like SummerSlam and Mania next year.
Well, and the other thing is too is that, you know, Brock has to get into a certain kind of shape and whatever, and fights are usually so many months right. off that they could conceivably sign him now and he would be like a lame duck in the WWE, but really not fight till 2015.
True. Yeah, that's also true. Hmm. He's on right now on Old School Raw, so we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But you know, all signs still point to him and Taker. They had I think a lot of these leaks lately have been misdirection by them. We had the one last week that Taker was too injured, that they didn't want him facing Brock, that he requested to fight Bryan. To me, that smells like just bullshit that they're shoveling out there. I also think some of the other stuff that's been out floating around, like Cena versus Bray Wyatt in the main event, I think that was an intentional leak.
I like that one because Vince McMahon, because what was the story that Cena is the one that writes their checks, and so, you know, they're going to push Bray Wyatt and have Cena. That's never going to happen.
I mean, I could maybe see that, but not in the main event.
That's what I mean. Not headlining the card.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
There would have to be a lot of storytelling between then and now to make
maybe
that
it's
happen.
In there somewhere. But, I mean, if Bryan doesn't get the title shot, maybe we get him and Bray. I don't know if they can drag this thing out till Mania, him being in the Wyatts. Doesn't seem like it, but.
I can't see it either. I can't see it either.
I think either him or Batista win the Rumble. I think those are the two main picks. Unless you have something like Brock wins it and then challenges Taker. I mean, we've seen that floated, and then you make the chamber for the title shot.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea. Brock decides then at the although it's weird though now because they've talked about him wanting the title, so it wouldn't make sense for him to win and then say that, but you know, they've done things
right,
like that
true.
Before.
Well, so maybe they do him and Orton it. Chamber. I don't know. It'd be interesting. Or maybe they do put the title line in the chamber and you put Brock in there. I mean, maybe that's just what you do.
Put Brock in the chamber and have him just clean guys out.
Yeah. Orton would have stuff to retain. Unless you want to have... I mean, if you want to go really fucking off the page, you could have Brock win the title and face Batista for the title at Mania. I don't see that happening. Because I think they want at least Orton or Cena in the title match at Mania. With there being only one title. I can't imagine they're going to have two non... Well, I guess Batista's technically going to be a regular performer, so...
Yeah, he signed through. Is it two years?
He signed through SummerSlam. Oh, is it that long?
Oh, maybe I'm getting. My
I thought it was.
Wrong.
I know. It's at least through SummerSlam.
I mean, he's going to do a full schedule, so.
Right.
Which is cool. I mean, I like Batista. I thought he went on a top. I mean, the only shitty thing is he's probably going to come back as a face, even though his character at the end before he left was awesome.
It was awesome.
Douchebag heel, but yeah. I can't see them bringing him back like that. I mean, they need star power, so I'm sure he'll be just a. Top level face at this point.
And you know, I know they always talk about Punk as kind of this very temperamental, kind of weird, you know, maybe I'll leave, maybe I won't leave. Maybe they're planning on him not being around most of the year.
He needs time off. I mean, his contract's up in the summer and he needs time off for injury. So I can't imagine they'll let him walk. I think they'll pay him. But I don't know where his mind's at, honestly. I mean, he's beat up pretty bad. I mean, he may, A, feel like he needs a break, or B, say, you know what, I don't have many years left. I need to cash in and stay on top now while I'm hot. I mean, him leaving, unless he's saved enough and he's fine, but him leaving could really hurt him. I mean, because right now there's such a dearth of stars, and he's so highly pushed that he may be able to cash in on one last big contract here for another 2 years or something, and then wrap up and go part-time if he wants. Because, I mean, just from the word out there is that he's just beat the shit right now.
Well, his knees are shot. I think he's got his elbows or something. I mean, it definitely his knees. His knees are in pretty bad shape right now.
Yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me if he takes some time off. But And that would help having Batista back. And it would also help if they just, you know, if they end up keeping Bryan elevated. I know there's a lot of hand-wringing out there that Bryan's being buried and not being pushed. I mean, the guy gets so much fucking TV time. The Wyatts are a pet project of Triple H and Vince. They're a group that they want to push. I mean, if Bryan's involved with them, I think it's still a push for him. You know, it's like, it's not like he's down working with, you know, Zack Ryder and the three-man band or whatever. I mean, he's still involved in a pretty heady storyline. I mean, the Wyatts are up there. I mean, they're, you know, they're highly pushed. They're highly touted. And I think him being involved there is not any kind of step down. I think it's not everyone can be fighting for the world title every fucking month or
exactly.
week. I mean, guys have to do other things.
Especially with only one belt now.
Right. You know, guys have to do other things. I mean, Brian's a guy, if he just keeps doing what he's doing, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, that's one thing about wrestling fans right now. They have to just get that out of your head. That's how it was back in the Attitude Era too. Just because you're not champion doesn't mean you're not a highly touted top of the mountain guy in the company. Gold is only goes so far. I mean, look at Diesel. I mean, he was champion. It didn't do anything for him. You know,
well,
or look
it
at
did,
it. Well, it did. Unfortunately, it didn't matter. In the global scope of things, really didn't matter. The company was still in the stinker, but. You know, some guys have the titles and do nothing with them. I mean, you know, look at,
would you rather be a world champion like Jack Swagger or would you rather be pushed like Daniel Bryan without
exactly.
the title?
Exactly. Thank you. That was the guy I was thinking of, Jack Swagger.
You know, there's a lot of differences. I mean, you could be a world champion, but it doesn't matter. Or you could be a guy like Bryan who's pretty well protected, gets a ton of TV time. When they have a show that they need time to fill, they give them 40-minute matches. And come on, who's the last guy to be featured like that? You know, it's like...
Yeah. He's been ending Raw consistently for the last, like, 3 months.
Right. I mean, he's up there. Okay, he's one of their top guys. If you take out the part-timers, he's right up there with Orton, Cena, and Punk. I mean, he's in the top four, I think.
Right.
When you look at guys not counting, like, you know, we'll see where Batista ranks, but not counting, like, Taker and Brock and Rock and those guys. I mean, Brian's up there with the regulars. So I think it's a little bit just... Yeah, it's just ingrained in most fans to always worry. I mean, this happened when Benoit got his push. Back in the day, everyone was just wringing their hands waiting for him to lose the title, and you almost don't even enjoy the push. And now,
exactly.
You know, we're going to look back 5 years from now and be like, oh, man, that Bryan run was so great. But, you know, we didn't fucking appreciate it at the time because everyone was worried that he was going to be de-pushed or buried. So at certain times, he's going to kick back. And that's not to say they're above criticism because no one is. So, I mean, there's plenty they do wrong, do awful. But I don't think their handling of Bryan is one of those things.
No, I don't think so either. You know, somebody made a point about speaking of MVPs and people that shouldn't be crapped on. I know as an on-air character, she is unbelievably annoying, but I can't believe I'm about to say this, but you know, a lot of people got to give Stephanie a lot of credit for the expansion that she's done over the last couple of years from a business perspective. She may not be the brightest bulb in the Christmas tree creative-wise, but she has, I mean, the network and, you know, the social media thing and stretching the company out and getting a lot of corporate partners, making a lot of money. A lot of people say she's a key cog in it. She's a VP. I mean, she's part of the decision-making process. It was.
The same people that said Cam Newton was destroying the Panthers?
Well, I sent you an article. I don't know why the fuck you keep leaning on that. I sent you an article. It's not made up. Was it made up?
Maybe it's that same guy.
Answer me. Was it made up?
Yeah. Well, I don't know where the guy found out about it. I mean, yeah, it was an article. I can write an article, too.
But when you send articles to people and you give examples, it's supposed to be fucking gold. Somebody else sends one you disagree with, and we're all liars.
No, I'm just saying.
You do that constantly.
I'm just saying that the whole black quarterback with an attitude is a very lazy media trope that permeates a lot of the sports world. So when I see one-off article by some fucking reporter somewhere down in the South about Cam Newton is angry and the fans and his teammates don't like him, I just, you know, I need a little bit more credence to it.
Well, huh? Warren Moon was never considered lazy. I never thought Doug Williams was ever lazy.
I didn't say you. I'm just saying this is a common theory out there. We're not going to get into all this, but there's a lot of the common theories. The lazy Spanish player, the showboating. You know, Robinson Cano's a showboat, but Dustin Pedroia is a gritty. I mean, there's a lot of the stereotypical media tropes that lazy journalists tend to... your age range tend to lead towards. So,
What do you mean my age range? What the fuck does that mean, my age range? What am I, 70? Jesus Christ, dude. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, the point is that there was somebody on one of the boards today.
Brad's quiet.
I hate it when my two dads fight. Go ahead.
Your granddad and your dad. Get it right.
You asked a question, and it's, yeah, because if I'm not, if I wasn't born beyond the fucking 1980, you know, you're only 7 years away from 40, dickhead, so stop whining about it.
You're negative years from 40.
There was somebody I wanted to, I think it was PWO today? I think it was PWO that mentioned, not saying MVP, but they're saying that, you know, that among the McMahons, that Stephanie deserves a little bit of credit because she's part of that, and I thought it was just an interesting opinion. Nobody ever says that. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's an interesting opinion.
You said a lot of people are reporting, and now it's a
No, I didn't say reporting. I said I saw something today where somebody said that they think Stephanie.
And now we're down to a commenter on PWO.
So let me clarify this. That's the source. For Scott, in his defense, with that too. So yes, it was actually from your friend Charles, who was on the show last week, and his point was somewhat tongue in cheek. Was, you know, would the internet wrestling community or those that vote on the Hall of Fame ever recognize Stephanie for the business things that she's done? And one of the points was that if the network really takes off and changes things, you know, she has a very strong case for being very influential in the history of professional wrestling. And would they ever vote her into a Hall of Fame? Did I get that right, Scott?
Maybe in like 40 years or something, she'll be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Coco Beware's in the Hall of Fame. I think anybody can go in the Hall of Fame.
We stop picking on poor Coco. Every time we talk about the Hall of Fame,
we're talking
poor Coco.
Dave Meltzer's Hall of Fame type thing.
Oh, Dave Meltzer's Hall of Fame? He has his own. He has plaques in his house.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that the WWE Hall of Fame is going to induct every McMahon and Helmsley before it's over. So,
In any event, the company's doing great. That was your question 20 minutes ago, Brad. So the company's fine right now,
and it's all thanks to Stephanie, says the guy on the message board.
Yeah, and Cam Newton's a douchebag.
You know, lot of people are selling career discs of the cat out there. A lot of people.
You never know. There could be a lot of people. You just don't know them, so they're invisible. They don't exist.
That's a fair point. Fake. That's a fair point. I'll give you that one. A rare
I don't know. Somebody was saying it, but I mean, it's not a huge, who cares? I mean, I'm not saying it's gold. I just thought it was a unique opinion.
Well, say it's an interesting point. Don't say a lot of people are talking about it because then it makes it sound like it's out in the news.
Well, it was like a 7 or 8 comment thread. It wasn't one person, and then there were crickets.
Seven.
But anyway, the big thread today was about Biggie Langston thing was the big thread that really bit my bacon today.
Well, something else is going to bite your bacon because this Brock segment started off awesome and ended with a big thud.
Ugh. Well, I think that, and so what we're talking about is that, you know, Mark Henry came out.
Well,
and
I didn't
Brock...
know if you wanted to spoil it for Scott, but fuck him. Oh. Go ahead.
Yes, we're
no,
gonna
shut
spoil
up, Brad.
It for
I don't want to hear it. No, fuck him. I don't want to hear
well,
it.
Well, people want to hear it. You want to take your cans off for a minute?
Anyway, actually, you know what? We won't spoil it, but let me just say that, you know, I think that, you know, I mentioned this before that, you know, that Brock came out looking for the title or whatever.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he can't change course because wrestler XX just came out, you know, and whatever. So they have an easy way to get around that. I was trying to book it where he was somehow involved because they made a big enough deal about it. And really, that's nothing. I mean, nothing's concrete there with Brock, and they can always call an audible. So that was my final point on that piece, and we'll let you enjoy that. And don't forget to read Scott's Raw review with your Tuesday morning coffee tomorrow morning.
Or if you're in England, you're already awake. Because Cam Newton is the greatest thing on the planet.
I feel like the Panthers are going to win the Super Bowl just because you slighted Cam on our preview.
No, I hope the Niners fucking beat him by 8 touchdowns. We never have to talk about him again.
Oh, we'll talk about it because then we'll hear all the same shit. Oh, Cam Newton's not a leader.
Shitty quarterback.
Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah. He's going to win every game ever because he's who he is. Yeah, exactly.
He can't win in the big spot.
Well, he hasn't even had a big spot yet. This is really his first one.
Well, this is going to determine the narrative, I'll tell you that much. If he wins, he's a winner. If he loses, he's an all-time loser.
Like Andy Dalton.
Oh, he's awful.
Nice red hair, shitty quarterback.
No, it has nothing to do with red hair. He's just bad.
He is. I finally realized that he's.
You broke your prosthetic hip jumping off that bandwagon.
Yeah, it's not.
I see. Well, Marvin Lewis is.
They
is
all
almost
suck.
Like almost like a modern day like Buddy Ryan with my Eagles in the late '80s. Like they just cannot. It doesn't matter home or away. Like they just can't win. You know, have a good regular season and they just can't win a playoff game. And that was, you know, really, really poor.
That's right. I chuckled to myself because I remembered back to October when I was walking the halls in my Jets jersey and those assholes were throwing it in my face like there's some fucking great kind of team. Like there's some team that's won 15 Super Bowls. They haven't won jack shit. Haven't won a playoff game in 20 years. And they were getting in my fucking face? Please.
Right.
Mark Sanchez has more playoff wins than any quarterback in your franchise history. Fucking shit, Bengals. Get the fuck out of here. Actually, does Boomer have more? I don't know. How many did Boomer have?
He probably
Boomer had a few.
Well, Yeah, well, Boomer's a couple of playoff wins, but I thought it was interesting that Dalton's stats this year bested anything that Boomer ever did with them.
Yeah, because it's a shitty fucking franchise.
Maybe sad, but
but he throws for 4,000 yards in the NFL now.
Yeah, well, it's easy when you have three big games at home and then you suck the rest of the year. You can really pad your stats. Yeah. Trash.
Anyway, let's transition
to
those games. Ginger trash. Let's transition to the games of this weekend, and then we'll talk about next weekend real quick.
Okay.
Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday. We'll start. We'll do this. We'll do the first game, and then we'll talk to Brad about his beloved green and white. What a comeback for Andrew Luck and the Colts. That guy's got some mojo. I mean, he didn't play great. He threw three picks.
Well, he is white.
But yeah, and he has a beard. Quarterbacks with beards always win. So if you're clean shaven, you're pigeonholed, prejudiced against because you're clean shaven. Like Cam Newton. Get some stubble, Cam, and you'll win on Sunday. One guy who I don't think is a winner is Alex Smith. I think he's a good quarterback.
You think that Alex Smith cost them that game, though?
I mean,
they put up 44 points.
I just don't think he's a winner. I mean, he's just one of those guys who puts up stats. He's a good little quarterback, but I don't know if he's ever going to be a winner. You know what I mean? I mean, he had the Giants beat a couple years ago, and he couldn't get the job done. Sure. They had a great season this year, and you know, you have a 4-touchdown lead.
That one's out on him. I mean, that's all on his defense, man. That was just
and some of the injuries too. And one of the things, if we could talk real quick about that, was I thought it was interesting that, and I certainly understand that Andy Reid has serious clock management issues. I lived through that nightmare for 14 years, but I thought it was interesting that, you know, like Simmons and some of these guys were like, oh, you can't back an Andy Reid team. He was pretty successful in the playoffs in the opening rounds. Like, I can only think of,
he upset a lot of them. They upset a lot of teams.
Absolutely. And he won on the road. And, you know, they went into Chicago. You know, so, I mean, absolutely the well-documented title game losses. Trust me, we do not need to unearth them. But I just thought it was interesting that they dogged him. Like, he was so scared. Like, he's Marty.
Well, the first problem is don't listen to Bill Simmons because he's known nothing about football in the last, like, 10 years.
Right.
I mean, he's been completely exposed. I mean, and it's fine. He's got a lot on his plate. I mean, it's just going to happen. I mean, I'll readily admit, I don't know as much about current day WWE as I used to, and because I have a lot more going on. And Bill Simmons has 20 times more than I got going on. And
Place to Be Nation is pretty busy.
But my problem is that he sits there and acts like he's still on authority and knows what he's talking about. And the other thing that pisses me off is like playoff manifesto.
Yeah, it was.
And yeah, but
poor.
He blames the wacky, wonky league more than himself. It's always an outside factor that cost him.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't suck at my picks. The league are real fucking crazy, and now I suck because of that. It's like nothing's ever his fault. So I love Grantland, but
I didn't have a problem picking the last couple of years. So
I mean, yeah, I mean, I love Grantland mainly because of the guys on their staff, but I've jumped off his personal bandwagon as a personality outside of the NBA. So anything football or baseball related, I don't bother reading his or take seriously. He's like become Hulk Hogan to me. He's just, if you know it's bullshit, then you can enjoy it, but don't take it seriously.
That's true.
I agree with
that. So, Andy Reid, if you're listening, you're welcome. Anyway, Scott, back to your NFL.
Yeah, well, I agree with you about Andy Reid. I think he's an exceptional coach. I think the Chiefs are going to be much better next year. I don't know if they'll be 9-0 to start the year.
I don't know. You think they'll be much better?
Well, I mean, 1 year of chemistry, and you know, if they have a good draft.
Yeah, but they had a super easy schedule.
They're going to have a tough schedule. We'll talk about that with the Eagles, too, then.
Yeah. So the Colts go to New England, and what do you think of that, guys? I think Luck could win that game. I think the Colts could win that game.
Oh, they could because of the pass defense, but I don't see New England losing that game. Mm. I mean, I feel more confident with them than I would have with Cincy. I thought Cincy would have no chance to go in there and beat them.
Right.
The Colts, I'll give a slight puncher's chance too, like his Luck is so good, and now Brandon Spikes is out for the year, so that hurts the Pats defense even more. But this is a game where everyone starts getting on the Luck wagon this week, and then Brady beats him like 41-22. I mean, it reminds me a lot of the like Tebow game. I mean, Luck is a lot better than Tebow, but remember everyone is jumping on the Bronco jock that year after they beat Pittsburgh and giving like Denver a chance to go in, and the Pats just fucking stomped them. So it just wouldn't surprise me if the Pats win by like 20.
Right.
It's entirely possible. I think Luck will put up numbers, but yeah, the Pats probably will play good enough to win that game. All right, your Eagles, Brad, they didn't play terrible. You know, they played as I think defensively. I thought they I thought they got caught flat-footed on some plays. I think Drew Brees took more chances than I think the Eagles thought he would, and made some nice passes, and then they won the game on a late field goal. For all four quarters, what were your thoughts on how the Eagles played
on Saturday night? This is exciting, you know, because nobody really expected this in Chip Kelly's first year, but the offense is unbelievable, well-documented. I mean, they couldn't stop talking about Nick Foles and stuff, and I thought early on Brees looked pretty human for the first half, but Mark Ingram was slicing them up, and the Eagles were real stagnant. The offense wasn't that great. They got a couple big turnovers. You know, there was that Stills like cut off that route, and the Eagles picked him off like the 2-yard line and ran it back, and then they had another interception that was a really bad throw by Brees. He wasn't doing much in the first half, but really in the end was they just, you know, they couldn't get a stop. I was pretty proud of the fact that they came back from being down 20-7. Mm-hmm. Late in the third, and I remember, you know, you guys were, you know, watching this on the mailbag, and I'm shooting you guys messages like, if they don't score a touchdown here, they're done. But they scored a touchdown, and then they scored another one, and so they, you know, it got, it was, you know, and really at the end, the defense just couldn't get a stop, and they didn't even make it hard on Shane Graham, which was disappointing. That was a real easy kick right down the middle. So it was disappointing, but, you know, I thought they showed up. They didn't choke in that game. The offense did everything you could ask for when it comes to coming back in a playoff game. So, and with a big spotlight. And really the last couple of weeks, for obviously the Dallas game was a playoff game too, and the Chicago game was huge.
And the NFC East will be wide open again next year, so the Eagles probably could win the division again.
Well, the what about the schedule next year is brutal because they have to play San Francisco, Seattle, Carolina, Green Bay because they ended up winning the division. They have India. They have Indianapolis on the road. I think it was.
Well, the rest of that division is trash. So if you're playing Seattle, that division at least. Mm. If you're playing the AFC South, though, you're in decent shape.
Pretty sure they are.
Well, yeah, if they're playing Indy, they have to be.
Yeah, I think it's Indy. But anyway, but the NFC slate is brutal. So
I think most NFC teams are going to have that problem. I mean, because the conference is so good.
Well, this year the Eagles only played the only team they played that was in the playoffs from the NFC side was Green Bay, and they played them without Rodgers. They didn't touch any of those other teams, but first place schedule—that's what you get now. So the Cowboys they got off a little easy there.
Yeah, they'll blow it again. So the other game, Cincy, what a gaff. Awful choke job. How do you lose to that Chargers team? I mean, the Chargers are well run. They have a good coaching staff. They always have a good game plan. And when they execute the game plan, it works well. And Cincy choked and threw up on themselves, and that was it. I mean, Dalton had a couple chances to come back, and he threw picks each time. I know the Chargers just beat Denver in Denver a few weeks ago. Short week. A little bit maybe underestimated, a little bit looking ahead. I can't see them going in there and winning that game again. I think Manning knows he has to win this game. I mean, this would just totally crush his legacy to lose this game, I think. And I'm not a big believer in the whole Peyton Manning can't win big games thing. Like, I like Peyton Manning a lot, so I want to see him win. But I think if they lose this game, it's a blow to him. I mean, to lose to a mediocre Chargers team at home as a number one seed would be a really bad loss.
Yeah, I mean, there's the division aspect here, which always makes it tough, right? You got to play that team a third time. I don't see it. I don't see really much of an upset chance at all, and I agree with your assessment of Manning also.
And what sucks, too, is that if they lose, but he, you know, puts up 400 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, and it's all the defense, and he's still going to catch shit. That's just how it goes. So you got to hope that defense is ready to play. And it was the run game that killed them last time. San Diego really controlled the clock and milked the ball down the field. So Denver's run D is going to have to really step it up. It's not always on Manning. You know, the defense has to as well. And then the late game was a really great game, Green Bay and San Fran. I think Green Bay was going to pull it out at the end. They had a chance of that pick that got dropped, and that really cost them the game as the Niners just kept going down the field and kicked the game winner. And so now they go to Carolina, which is an interesting game. I mean, I think Carolina, you know, they went into San Fran and beat them a few weeks ago. San Fran's got a little bit more playoff experience. You wonder if that will play a role. You wonder if they like the quarterback. No. If they like the quarterback more. I don't know. I think I like the Niners in that game. I like the Panthers a lot. I think they are legitimate, but I think the Niners are maybe just a little bit better coached overall. I know the whole Riverboat Ron thing has been fun, but I think at the end of the day, Harbaugh is just a better coach, regardless of his Pat from Saturday Night Live pants that he had on Sunday.
I agree with you, JR. I think, look, the Panthers are playing with house money. Cam Newton can do whatever he wants on.
I don't know about
in all
that,
seriousness,
though.
They are. I mean, it's only his third year, and they're already division champions.
Yeah, but division champions are the home bye. You can't. I mean, if you lose that, I know the Niners are good. I don't think they have nothing. I don't think they're playing that loose. I honestly think that's a. I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I don't think they're like, it's happy to be here. We're going to be here.
No. I don't think that either. But I don't think like if the Panthers lose that Rivera's going to get fired or anything or anything like that. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, but of course not. But I think it's a big win for the franchise needs to make a mark because that division is going to stay difficult. Like Tampa's going to be much better next year with Lovie Smith.
They weren't even,
I don't think they were even that bad this year. There's got things snowballed out of control. Right. Atlanta's going to be back quickly because they have a lot of pieces in place. They just need to shore up their defense, and they have a very high draft pick. And the Saints are going to be good. So this isn't like a situation where you could say, okay, we're going to lose this game. We'll be back next year. I don't think there's any guarantee with that division. You know, it's not like Andrew Luck where you can say the Colts are probably going to be in charge of that division for a few years now. So I think it's a tricky spot for Carolina. I think it's almost the opposite. I think it's a chance they need to take because I don't know if it'll be here again anytime soon.
Well, and they're an underdog in this game at home. So, and one of the things that I'll caution with them too is I know a lot of their games down the stretch were tight, but you know, you got a good defensive team with a kind of like a inconsistent offense, and that can be the death knell in the playoffs if you can't, you know, be consistent with that kind of stuff. So, going to be a good game. That's a tight one.
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably understated a little bit. I think Carolina would be not, you know, I think winning this game would be huge for them. But they are not, you know, they're not playing your everyday run of the mill, you know, four seed or whatever. They're playing the defending NFC champions.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick's a beast. He opened my eyes yesterday in enemy territory. And, you know, it's funny, you know, the Green Bay is, you know, the cold weather and everything, but so many teams have gone there and won. I almost think the cold weather thing means nothing anymore. Well, I mean, the Giants have won cold games there. Niners won cold
games
there.
You finally identified your first bullshit media narrative, Scott Criscolo, on this show in 3 years. I'm very proud right now. It's all a fucking nonsense. It's all nonsense.
And Green Bay, you know, because, you know, going back to the 60s or something, they were 13-0 at home in the playoffs like that. But then really since like the last 10 years, they've and you know, in Kaepernick, he didn't even have sleeves on or gloves. So,
well, he's from Wisconsin. I mean, I think he was a Packer fan as a kid. So,
yeah, I mean, when you can run like him and throw like him, I don't give a shit how cold it is. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
And just like the Peyton Manning thing. It's like, oh, it's 29 degrees. Oh, wait, it's 30. He can play again. It's like so fucking stupid. You know, it's just stupid.
And you know what? And I witnessed that. They've been doing that narrative forever because, of course, you remember, you know, 14 years ago with the Eagles, they used to always beat Tampa Bay because it was super cold. And then, well, and then that one time in the NFC Championship game, Tampa Bay, you know, they kicked our asses. So I hate that trope of since it's this temperature, this team will absolutely not win. I mean, these athletes, most of the – they're all from Florida, Texas, California, you know, like, and anyway, so, you know, Nick Foles and Drew Brees are both from the same Texas high school. So why would Drew Brees be more at a disadvantage than Nick Foles in a 5-degree game? You know,
Nick Foles has played 1 year in cold weather,
but he's from Texas. So it's never cold in Texas. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. All right. Four teams. Who wins next weekend? Brad, pick the four. What's your AFC and NFC championships?
I do think it's going to be a Seattle-San Francisco matchup in the final. I do think that Carolina loses. And I do believe that New England will be going into Denver. I do not see – I know it all chalk with that, but there's
– Well, San Fran technically the lower seed.
Yeah. Yeah, technically the lower seed, but still the favorite in this game, actually. But the other guys are all I don't see the other home teams losing with the matchups that they got there. And usually I'm a dog guy, but I really don't see too many that are live outside of – you know, we talked about the defensive deficiencies for both the Patriots and the Broncos. But not a big Luck Pagano guy.
Well, you got to – I mean, if you want to look at it and say there's going to be some team out there that's kind of like the Ravens last year, and I think the team that's most likely – like that is the Saints. you know, no one expected the Ravens to. I mean, I remember you, Scott, say here, and you were at my house watching the game, and you thought for sure the Colts were going to win that game. Remember,
mm-hmm.
You took Luck.
Yep.
And you know, the Ravens weren't really expected to do much. They were kind of on the back end. You know,
struggled
a lot of teams look at
stretch.
Looking at Breeze and the Saints kind of struggle, but a team that kind of has been there before, they know what they're doing. No one's really giving them a chance. They just got slaughtered in Seattle. A lot of hype around Seattle. I think they're very good. I mean, I'm not saying this is likely, but if I'm kind of picking one outside the box underdog here, I think just based on their experience and the fact that you kind of look at the sniff test, I think the Saints could be the team that pulls the upset that no one sees coming.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. I like that too.
Like, we could be sitting here next Monday being like, how do we not see the fucking Saints winning this game? You know, everyone was picking Seattle, and we thought the upset would be whoever, Indy or San Fran, and then all the chalk except Seattle advances, you know, something like that. And then we're looking at New Orleans and Carolina for the championship game or something like that. So,
Well, I mean, you got to remember with New Orleans that when did they finish a game out of the division and still had a great record? So they're not like a schlop team heading up there. And you're right too; they are closest to that Ravens mold where they kind of were iffy down the stretch. I mean, and how about this from a historical standpoint? That playoff win for them last week was their first road playoff win in franchise history.
Crazy.
So.
So just for the fuck of it, I will take the Saints in Carolina in the NFC Championship. And New England in Denver. I think we get chalk in the AFC.
Fucking stole my Saints pick. Damn it! I thought I was the only one because I like them too. And it's not because I discredit the Seahawks by any stretch. Drew Brees just seems to be one of those guys that's very proud and doesn't want to go back into that building and lay another fart bomb like he
right. And Seattle's tough at home. I mean, it's not going to be easy. That's for sure.
No, not at all.
It wouldn't surprise me if the Seahawks win by 40, but. I'm just saying, if you're kind of looking for that, we always seem to get one of these outside the box upsets in this round, and I don't know, it wouldn't surprise me. I guess the Indy one too is that Saturday night game, which is always a little crazy. When is Seattle, New Orleans? Is that?
That's Saturday afternoon.
That's actually usually the crazier game, as we just saw this week, that 4 o'clock game. So that's a pretty good slate on Saturday. And then what's Sunday? We get Denver at 4.
Denver's late.
Yeah, the. Pats, yeah, the Niners, Niners, Panthers, the early game.
Okay, so we'll see. Pretty good games all around. So, all right, why don't we wrap things up, fellas? Hope everyone enjoyed this little kind of another potpourri episode here. Talk to Brian Papa. You can go back, of course, check that out, and hit up his Kickstarter to help support his dream project. And also, thank you for listening to all our shows last week. We had a big four for you.
Marathon.
Yeah, we need a break. I'm going to go hibernate till Thursday. When we're back with our year in review 2013, we're going to have Greg Phillips and Nate Milton of the Kings of Sport podcast and Live Audio Wrestling will be with us. We're going to go through a bunch of categories. Those categories are on Place to Be Nation's Facebook page, facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. You can go submit your votes. We're going to read them all on air. We're going to tally them all, and we're going to determine who the winners of the categories are based on our votes and yours. And then next week, we have Steve Carino Monday night, which should be a lot of fun, Scott. And then what do we have second later in the week? We have Old School. I keep forgetting. The Old School Rumble Roundtable.
Old School Rumble Roundtable.
With our usual pretty good crew there. So
cast of characters.
Yes, we'll announce them on Monday. And also remember, Monday, after Steve Carino, we have a major announcement.
Huge.
PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll have a special guest with us after that interview. And we're going to make a major announcement then. So stay tuned for that. And as always, thanks for your support. Visit PlaceToBeNation.com. Follow us on Twitter, Place2BNation, and Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation as well. For Scott and Brad and Brian Papa, I am Justin Rosero. We'll talk to you Thursday night, wrapping up 2013. Nothing? No smart-ass fucking thing? I figured you'd have something.
No, I used it all up during the show.
Used all your vitriol, Cam Newton?
Cam Newton, yeah. You better win!
All right, we're out here, Shivani. Too much for you thug. That can't stand the flood. What up, Doc? Whole big like Elmer Fudd. The show lifts a map. I'm unplugged. Learn, temperature's too hot. The sun block. Burn, playing with mine to get you state time. Lock behind 12 bars from a great mind. Killer bees in the club with his ladybug. Brought his to the dance floor to cut a rug. Love is love all day till they throw slug. And take another and go. Can't feel me till it's your blood. Race tremendous, crime is endless. Same different day, Father forgive us. They know not what they do, all praise is due. I'm big like EZ and Big Bear Bull. What's that? I didn't hear you. Shut the fuck up. Come on a little louder. Shut the fuck up. Everybody in the gather now. Shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. What's that? I didn't hear you. Shut the fuck up.
some want a little louder. Everybody in the evidence. Head strong, dead calm, dead right on. Dead weight, they dead wrong. Let's get it on. 12 rounds of throwdown. Who hold crown? Protect land with 4 pounds. Limp biscuit. Get around like merry-go. Bust the scenario. Coming through your stereo. Why risk it? Lifestyles of the prolific and gifted. Eight essential vitamins and minerals. Delicious. Word on the street is they bit my thesis. Knocked out their front teeth. Trying to taste mine. Acting like they heard through the grapevine. Feeding for the baseline. 2 for 5 rounds. Pharmaceuticals. Hardest nails to the cuticle. Where'd you find that monster? She beautiful. Wu-Tang and Limp Bizkit. Roll on the kick a hole in the speaker. Pull a plug and then jack.
Mic check. So what's it all about? And where we gonna run? Maybe we can meet up on the sun. Discretion is advised for the blood of virgin eyes. We're limping on the track with the method. So get the sun block. You're getting one shot. Until you dissolve, I revolve around everything you got. From out of nowhere. Prepare. You'll be blinded by the glare. I told you not to stare. Now you're turned into stone. Without a microphone. But don't you forget you're in the zone. So shut the fuck up and take that shit back. Cause all your shit's whack. When it's weighed out like that. Burning up your brain like a piston. So all those who didn't listen. Never even knew what they were missing. And never even knew that the sky was falling down. Wu-Tang Clan for the crown.
Come on a little louder. Everybody in the gavern now. It's over your head all day, every day. S-I-N-Y, 10304, Wu-Tang, Killer Bees, and the Limp, B-I-Z-K-I-T's. Y'all know the time, y'all know the rhyme. It ain't easy being greasy in a world full of cleanliness and, you know, all that other madness. We gone. Peace.